Hello, 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 everybody. Pastor Mackenzie Kambizi coming your way. Excited to be in the land of the living. It is a good thing to be counted among those who are living. As long as you are alive, there's hope for you. There's hope to you. And my friends, you can always make a new start. As long as there's hope to you, for the hope you are living, there's hope to you. And don't give up. Don't you ever give up. Don't try to give up. No. We're not going back. Thank you so much, my friends, as you are coming. I see you coming now. We appreciate you coming. We do have a very important subject that I'm just going to tackle today. And as we continue with this subject of forgiveness, I'm really excited about this subject of forgiveness. When I look through the doctrines of the church and the doctrines of scripture, what I discover is that forgiveness is the heartbeat of everything. Forgiveness is the heartbeat of everything. Even when you read the book of Revelation chapter 7, it will let you know a question is asked, who are these? Who are this? Who are this? And when that question is asked, and John says, I do not know. These are they. These are they. When you get to the answer of that question, who are these? Even those when everything is done, sin is over, and we are in heaven, we are going to be defined by the forgiveness of God, which he gave to us. And so I'm grateful that forgiveness will outlive, outlast time, and it will always be celebrated even in the new Jerusalem when it's all over. Thank you so much for coming, my friends. Let's have a quick word of prayer and we get into our study for today. Father God, thank you so much. Please help us. Please explain. Please hold our faith together as we seek understanding. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. So we are so thankful that we are here. We are going to talk about today. I'm going to talk about marriage and forgiveness. I'm not going to do family life, which we God willing, we are going to devote a month this year just to marriage and courtship, I think, God willing. But for the sake of our theme, which is forgiveness, how important it is in the marital relationship, okay, in the marital relationship. And it also helps to those who are dating. You can also use those who are single. You can also use these principles. They work. They're universal. And so they work. And so I just want us to look at marriage and forgiveness. That's what we're going to talk about today, marriage and forgiveness. And tomorrow, God willing, we're going to be talking about parenting and forgiveness, parenting and forgiveness. Because some adults who are struggling with forgiveness is because they never got it when they were children. They suffered as children, and now you are a parent. And what you're doing is continue to keep the cycle of dysfunction when it comes to unforgiveness rolling. So how do we deal with it as parents? We're going to talk about it tomorrow, whether you have a child, you don't have a child, or you are a parental figure. It'll benefit you tomorrow to come by here as we talk about that. And then on Thursday, we are going to deal with forgiveness and single again, single again. Single again includes those who have gone through divorce, those who have lost a husband, lost a wife, and those who have, broken up, coming from a very solid relationship. So we will talk about forgiveness and singleness again. So today we're going to do marriage and forgiveness. Tomorrow we're going to do parenting and forgiveness. And the next day we're going to do forgiveness and singleness again. And then we are going to finish off on forgiveness and death. Forgiveness and death. Some people are beating themselves down because they let down or they had an issue with someone who passed. And how can we handle forgiveness in that arena? So we're going to go that way. All right. So let's get into this one, marriage and forgiveness. There's so many books about marriage that you're going to find out there. And I want to put a disclaimer right from the start. There's no perfect marriage. There's no perfect marriage. You can learn from every marriage, but there's no perfect marriage. It doesn't exist. It's two sinners who are in love and who are doing the best that they believe to be the thing to be done. And you can learn from every couple. There's no perfect couple. There's no perfect marriage. I think I've helped somebody who's trying to have a perfect marriage out there. And every marriage book that you read, it's a testimony of the person who wrote it. Okay, don't take any one marriage book to become the Bible about marriage. There's no manual out there, but you can learn from everything and everybody who has, even when it comes to scripture that's found in the Bible, the application of that scripture is usually tainted with the culture of the person who wrote it, with the religious beliefs of the person who wrote it, or lack of that religious background. So I want to say to all my couples, all the married people out there in the marriage land university school that you never graduate from, you're doing well. You're doing well. If you fail some classes, all you got to do is repeat some classes, and you may need to, you know, take another course whilst you get better. Keep at it. Keep at it. So let's get into it. Marriage and forgiveness. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 13 reads, bearing with one another, bearing with one another, bearing with one another. You should learn to bear or tolerate. All right, tolerance is very important. Bearing, tolerating one another and forgiving one another if anyone has a complaint against another. All right. Those who have, you know, people who mess up and cause complaints are to be forgiven. And then the other one, even as Christ forgave you, so you must also forgive. So the standard for our forgiving is how Christ forgave us. Some things you can bear and other things God is saying, forgive. All right. When you look through scripture, you discover the oldest human relationship of all time is marriage. Okay, according to the Bible, the very first relationship that ever happened was marriage. Okay, Adam and Eve didn't have courtship. Adam and Eve didn't have anybody to influence their decisions. They were in a perfect environment, and they were made by a perfect God, and they were married in a perfect marriage. All right, and then things happened in the marriage. God said, you shall not, please don't eat of the fruit. Come on, talk to me. This is a perfect couple. So I just want to give hope and bring a smile to some broken couples out there. That if a perfect couple in a perfect environment messed up on a simple instruction, my friend, you need to give yourself a slack. And you need to be patient with yourself. He's still working on you to make you what he desires you to be. I want you to understand that. So many people are trying to be perfect with this thing. Adam and Eve started perfect. Okay, you and I are trying to be perfect. Adam and Eve were perfect in a perfect environment. And there were no kids to mess up their marriage. Come on, talk to me. All right. And yet they messed up. All right. So how do we deal with this thing? And look at what happened to the first couple in the Bible. The number one crisis which happened when the first couple in the Bible went wrong is still the causer of all the crisis in all marital relationship. The blame game. All right, the blame game, not taking responsibility for what it is that has happened. God comes in and Adam says, the wife you gave me, all right, immediately. And Eve says, man, you are the creator of this serpent. Okay, so blame games is number one a robber of joy when it comes to marriage. If you don't acknowledge it, if you don't apologize, if you don't ask for forgiveness real quick, if there's one relationship that brings a lot of entitlement, it's marriage. A lot of entitlement. You see people dating. When they're dating, they're nicer. They are respectful. But the day they get married, something literally happened. Entitlement comes in. And that spirit always creates trouble. It brings trouble. When, you know, the issues of the heart, the marriage, the love thing, people's sensitivities are heightened when they're in love. So sometimes forgiveness suffers in a marriage because, you know, we expect this person we are married to should never be the one to criticize me. People can be criticized by everybody in the world. But when the person you are married to says something, we can take it easily and quickly. We can escalate it to a very serious place, you know. So I want to talk to us in a very special, marriage is very special, and the enemy attacks that thing. And when you get into it, how important is forgiveness in a marriage? Forgiveness is so powerful in a marriage because in a marriage, forgiveness makes you bold. It makes you bold. What, you know, marriage makes forgiveness. When you forgive in a marriage, there's something that happens to you. And I want to share with you things that happen to you when you forgive. Number one, it makes you bold. It makes you bold. When you forgive in a marriage, it makes you bold. It makes you strong. It really makes you strong. Because like we said, now you now know what forgiveness is. It makes you strong because it frees you. Okay? It makes you strong because it gives you peace of mind. All right? So it makes you strong. It allows you to do the impossible. You know, when you forgive in a marriage, it makes you do the impossible. What does that mean? You know, it makes you rise above the pain, rise above the hurt, rise above the confusion, and still function as a spouse. Come on, talk to me. Forgiveness makes you do the impossible in a marriage. Okay. I've seen couples who have hurt each other in one area, but they're doing things. They're still building homes together. They're still going to work. They're still doing other roles in their lives. They're still alive and taking off because of forgiveness. Let me tell you, if you are married and forgiveness is not your forte, it'll impact every aspect of your life. Because one thing about the person you're married to, that person has so much power that they can impact your whole day. One statement from them in the morning can mess up your whole day. And one statement or silence from them in the evening can give you nightmares by night. And you know what? And confusion and pain by day. Okay, whoever you're married to, that's why it's very, very important when it comes to choosing a life partner. It's extremely important. If you're a person of faith, you need to pray about it because that one relationship can impact time and eternity. Can impact time and eternity. It is extremely important. So let me get into it. We're not going to do family life. We're going to dedicate a whole month to it so that we can do justice to it. I love it. I love it too. We're going to have that one in. So when you forgive in a marriage, it makes you bold. When you forgive in a marriage, it makes you strong. When you forgive in a marriage, it makes you do the impossible. It makes you do the impossible. Okay, many of us can testify that we have never seen our mothers mad. We've never heard our parents cuss at each other. All right, only forgivers can do that impossible. That mother would have a difficult time with daddy wherever they were hurting each other, wherever they were hurting each other. But when they came in front of the kids, they had the dignity of remaining parents. All right, so it matters. Forgiveness in a marriage, it will make you do the impossible. It'll make you do the impossible. Yes, there are children who can testify, I've never heard my parents fight. Okay, that's good. And there are others who have heard their parents fight. And here's one thing I've discovered. I've always wondered the progress that my parents had. Let me tell you something. I look at my life now and I compare myself to what my father did when he was my age. My father had accomplished so much stuff by the time he was my age, my current age right now. My father had done incredible stuff. And I look at it and get, for me, I bring it back to the subject of forgiveness. And ladies out there, if you are married to a man, forgiveness is extremely important. It's extremely important to a man. What the wife says will destroy or build a man. Let me tell you something, ladies. If you're out there and you're married, and if you are dating somebody, you need to understand that that man, when a man gives his heart to you, your words will build him up or will destroy him. And forgiveness really matters. Really, extremely matters. So it allows you to do the impossible. And here's forgiveness will make others talk about you. Do you want people to talk about you? Be known as the greatest forgiver. Forgiveness will make others talk about you. All right. When you forgive in a marriage, it will give you strength to keep going. Forgiveness in a marriage will give you strength to keep going. Forgiveness in a marriage will help you mend or try. It will give you strength to put effort to fix the relationship. Forgiveness does that. And it enables you to show mercy. Forgiveness in a marriage will enable you to show mercy. In other words, in a marriage, forgiveness changes everything. In a marriage, forgiveness changes everything. Every great relationship is made up of two forgivers. If the marriage is going to go anywhere, it's going to demand, God puts it this way, he who is forgiven much loves much. So in other words, the loving is always in proportion to the forgiving. So here's what I want to say to you. The joy of your marriage is going to be in proportion to the forgiveness capability of the two of you in that marriage. All right. So if you are married to somebody who cannot, forgiveness is not part of their vocabulary, it's not part of their DNA, they can never be joy where there's no forgiveness. Because you're not married to an angel, for crying out loud. Even if you were married to an angel, you would mess up the angel because you are not an angel. All right. Marriage is between two sinners. I think the greatest miracle of all time is for two broken sinners coming from two broken families to choose to love each other, and for better and for worse, they make a promise that they don't even know what it means, and they join hands and trust that they will do this thing right. That is the greatest miracle of all time. Two sinners falling in love. Falling in love. Or growing in love. I like that one. Because marriage, you discover every day something new about the other. So forgiveness will give you the opportunity for you to be patient with the other person and for the other person to be patient with you. Is that all right? So that's very, very important. So four things I want to share with you in order for you to grow the spirit of forgiveness in your marriage. Listen, I've been there. I've been there. Let me tell you something. And I am there. Marriage is one of those relationships that will eat you on the inside whilst you look great on the outside. Okay. Anybody who's married on this platform, you understand what, and it should be like that, because marriage is one of those most private relationships you should ever have. Okay, the moment you make your marriage a public affair, then you, my friend, have, because marriage, the funny thing about keeping your issues private is because when you make up with the one you are married with, it's easy for you to go forward. But when you invite strangers into your marriage and you let people know what's going on and all that kind of stuff, people always project their own issues into your own marriage. Okay, there's no perfect couple out there. I'm telling you right now, I know there's some people on the line, oh, my pastor, no. Pastor, non-pastor, a person on drugs, a person who, listen, nobody has a perfect marriage. It doesn't exist, does not exist. But thank God we keep on trying at it, because that's the most powerful representation of the gospel. Okay, God has trusted the essence of the gospel to families. And so we will keep on pushing it till he comes. So here are four things that will help you to develop the spirit of forgiveness in your marriage. Okay, so marriage, I've shared with you what it does to you when it exists in the marriage. It will make you bold. A forgiven spouse is a bold spouse. A forgiven spouse is a confident spouse. Let me tell you something. The whole world, if you are happy everywhere and sad at home, you are sad everywhere. All right. If you are happy everywhere and you are sad and guilty at home, you are guilty and sad everywhere. Marriage has such power. And because God, the enemy wants to challenge what God is doing in it. So here are four things that will develop the spirit of forgiveness in your marriage. It matters. Here, number one, learn to nurture your fondness and admiration. Okay. You need to understand people. It's easy to forgive a person that you like, all right? Many of you say, well, I love you. Well, okay, here's the question. You love your spouse, but are you ready? Do you still like him? Do you still like her? Because we always do better with people that we like. Okay, love will pay the bills, but liking will make somebody have goosebumps. Come on, somebody. That's just a lesson for free right there. You need to nurture, keep feeding your fondness, okay, and admiration. Keep admiring each other. You know, don't forget the reason why you got into it, okay? Most couples, It's amazing that it's easy to tell a couple that's dating from a couple that's married in most cases, because the couple that's dating, there's admiration. The way they look at each other, there's dance in their eyes. But when you look to the married couple, because of lack of handling this forgiveness deal, you'll discover people can tell. There are so many people who are afraid of marriage now because of how we have lost the juice and the sweetness of it. So in order for you to maintain the spirit of forgiveness, to make it easier for forgiveness to thrive in your marriage, continue to nurture your fondness. Be fond of each other and admiration. Admire each other. Get that happy still there and keep it going. You got to keep the admiration. You feel what I'm saying? You got to feel the admiration. You remember when you were dating, how just the thought of the other person made you happy. Just the perfume of the other person makes you feel great. I mean, you got to keep that going. It's going to take work. Every good thing needs you to put work into it. All right. So how do I nurture my fondness for my spouse, and how do I nurture my admiration for my spouse? You ready for this? Compliments. I've got four C's for you. Compliments. Keep compliments flowing. Keep compliments flowing. Keep compliments flowing. Learn the language of complimentation. You're going to compliment each other. You gotta compliment each other. Man, I like your hair. Whoa, you look good. You're gorgeous. You're pretty. You need to keep that language in there. It matters even to your relationship with God. You know, we gotta adore God. Okay, so that He continues to mesmerize us. Okay, so if we are to create an atmosphere where forgiveness becomes easier in a marriage, you must nurture your fondness and admiration of each other. Okay, can I challenge you married couples out there? Read the book of Songs of Solomon. Read the book of Songs of Solomon. And I'll say, park your car on chapter 7. I mean, it's in the Bible. The book of Songs. When was the last time you heard a sermon from the book of Songs of Solomon? We act as if God did not put it. Before all love novels were written, Songs of Solomon is the love novel of all time. It's a novel between a man and a woman who loved each other. Are you with me on this one? Yeah. You gotta go learn to compliment. They compliment each other on the skin. They compliment each other on the hair. They compliment. If you read Songs of Solomon chapter 7, he compliments the lady from the hair to the eyes, the teeth, the neck, the shoulders, the breast, the waistline, the thighs, the feet. It matters. If you are going to nurture an atmosphere in your marriage where forgiveness becomes easy, you must increase likability in your relationship. You must like each other, push liking each other. Many married couples tell me, Pastor, we love each other. And my question to you is, do you still like each other? Okay, you had to like each other first before you loved each other. Love is huge. Love, it keeps on growing, but you have to like somebody for you to pursue them. All right. So number one thing you need for you to nurture a spirit that makes forgiveness easier in your marriage. I didn't say easy. I said easier, because people you like, you can do business with them. Thank you so much. Compliments. That will facilitate the spirit of fondness and admiration. Oh, you need to read. Please go read Songs of Solomon before you go to bed. Listen to it. I mean, this man and this woman, they're crazy, and it's in the Bible. People tell me, Pastor, I don't read my Bible. The Bible is boring. Oh, no. Go to Songs of Solomon. I know you love Revelation. I know you love Daniel. I know you love the beast and all the other stuff. They have their own place, but guess what? Out of the pen of inspiration, God gave us Songs of Solomon. So if you are going to nurture fondness and admiration, compliments, touch each other. Learn to touch each other. Don't just touch each other with hands. Please do touch each other with hands, but learn to touch each other with your words. Learn to touch each other with your actions. You are developing, nurturing fondness and admiration. You know why most single people try to stay in the gym, looking good and healthy and what? Because of compliments. Compliments matter. Yeah, when compliments are neglected, people neglect themselves. People neglect themselves. Listen, you can tell a couple that's going through trouble by simply how they look. It's easy. Weight comes on, because if there's nobody who's saying you look good without weight, well, it don't matter if it comes. Compliments. Nurture fondness and admiration. Oh, come on, talk to me. All right. Learn to compliment that man. All right. Tell the brother, man, I love you. Look at your shoulders. Don't just cry when Denzel comes on the screen. Don't be stingy with compliments. Don't compliment President Obama. President Obama belongs to Miss Michelle Obama. Your own spouse needs to hear you say some good stuff. Don't talk good about your daddy. No, your daddy ain't your husband and your mama ain't your wife. You need to learn to develop compliments for each other. When was the last time you looked each other in the eye? Huh? I remember my mom and dad used to, once every month, my mom and my dad would come and put his head on my mother's lap, and my mother would take a comb and start combing through the hair and, you know, just making sure that the scalp was clean. Some of you know what I'm talking about. I mean, those old folk knew how to love on each other and how to make each other feel special. That creates, you know, people, a person that you like makes it easier for you to forgive. Here's the second thing to create an atmosphere where forgiveness can flourish in your marriage. Learn to turn toward each other instead of away from each other. When you hurt each other, it's easy for you to turn away from each other, but learn to turn to each other. All right. When everything is going well, you're facing each other. When a hurt happens in a marriage, it's easy for you to turn. And you cannot come together when you are turning away from each other. So you need to learn. So here it is. What is it, Pastor Kambizi, that will make it easy for us to turn toward each other instead of away from each other? You ready for this? Confession. Okay. Whilst you give each other compliments, learn the language of confession. Learn to say, I'm sorry. Learn to say, you were right and I was wrong. Listen, marriage works when two forgivers come together. And part of reconciliation, when people have hurt each other, is restored trust. And the number one thing that can restore trust in a marriage is confession. Hey, I'm sorry. You know, sometimes, you don't win in your marriage. If you're going to have forgiveness in your marriage, don't win. Because when you win, then it means your spouse lost. No, you are on the same team. How can the defender win and the goalie fail? How can the quarterback win and the running back fail on the same team? We are on the same team. In our team, we win together. If one of us is hurting, we are all hurting. That spirit will keep you going. So if you are married and you want to win, if you are dating somebody who has to win every time, it means you need to keep on dating, or you need to let them go and find someone who wants a we team. Okay, so when you hurt each other, when crisis come, I like that. One team, one vision. You need to have that, which means when your spouse hurt, you also hurt, because the two have become one. If you're becoming one, then it means there are moments where you can push something too hard, and then it may look like you got your own way. If you want your marriage to work, you can always come back and say, hey, I'm sorry. I think I kind of went over the hump. You know, there's an African saying that says, learn to wash even clean hands. Write that down, somebody. Learn to wash even clean hands. What does that mean? It means you don't just confess because you are wrong. You don't just, if it impacts your spouse, your partner, learn to wash even clean hands. You want them to remain comfortable. Are you with me on this one? So don't say, well, I washed my hands when you were not in the room. No. If you want your marriage to work, if you want your relationship to work, learn to wash even clean hands. All right. So turn toward each other instead of away from each other. If you are dating, to those of you, I see some single people here. If you are dating and you have somebody that whenever you have a difference, they walk away, you are in trouble. If they don't change that, let me tell you something. Anything that a person does when you are dating, it'll become stronger when you are married. Don't overlook some behaviors that don't line up with what you're looking for. Okay? Don't do that. Because once you're married, let me tell you some single folk, you are so blessed because when you are single and think something doesn't work out, you can walk away from it. All you gotta do is text and block. Okay? Text is over and block and delete. When you are married, there is no block and delete. It's a process to get out of it. Okay, so if you're dating somebody who, whenever you have a difference, they walk away for 2 weeks, they don't talk to you, let them go. All right, listen, don't feel sorry for nobody when it comes to your heart. If you are dating and you want someone to become your spouse, I'm telling you, marriage is the most powerful thing. My favorite author said, if you used to pray 2 times, pray 4 times. If you used to pray 4 times before you got married and you're looking for a partner, pray 8 times, double time when it comes to a person you want to do marriage with. All right. So those are the friends who are married. So turn toward each other. If you are going to create an atmosphere of forgiveness, learn to turn toward each other instead of away from each other. Okay, that really makes sense. Let me do this. Ooh, I'm getting excited, okay? I'm just letting you to avoid. To those who are married, if you want to see the atmosphere that you have in your marriage, there's the atmosphere. How is forgiveness working in our thing? Answer these questions to yourself. How often do you kiss? How often do you kiss? How often do you kiss? Don't put it here. Just answer to yourself. Those of you who are married. One thing I've discovered, when you don't have issues between you, okay? When you don't have big issues between you, you are emotionally drawn to each other. Okay, that's why when people are dating, they can't wait to kiss. Oh, they can't wait to kiss. The single ones can't wait to kiss. Wherever they have a little bit of privacy, we got to kiss. But when people get married, kissing becomes something reserved for the kids and reserved for the grandkids because we have issues that we are not willing to deal with. So it's very important. How often do you kiss? How often do you embrace? You know, I know not everybody is expressive that way. I get that. Okay, not everybody is expressive that way. But when you read Songs of Solomon, it will let you know there's a place for kissing. Okay, don't just kiss the grandkids. Granddaddy needs his kiss too, okay? I don't just kiss the kids, you know, kiss them when they're leaving, going to school, kiss them when they come back, and your spouse doesn't get a kiss. When I was growing up, I never imagined my parents kissing. I really never did. I never imagined them kissing because of a cultural context in which we were, okay? So there are some cultural contexts where a public display of affection is really not something that it happens, but it helps to the parents to display some things so that you give permission to the children to do likewise when they are at a place where they should. Okay, so turn toward each other instead of away from each other when you have hurt each other. Confession makes it easy. Okay, the same is true with our relationship with God. If you confess your sin, let me tell you something. I've never seen a happy Christian who does not confess. I have never seen a strong Christian who struggles with confession. I have never met a prayer warrior who struggles with confession. To me, prayer is when I open my heart to God as to a friend. Prayer is sweet in my life because it's my confession time. I'm telling God what I think, what my limitations are, and I'm saying, God, please take this, work with it. I don't play God when I'm in prayer because I've discovered prayer is the avenue, is the grace that God gave me to confess my limitations, confess my fears, and trust Him to handle it. All right. So confession. So number one, nurture fondness and admiration. If you are married, look for things that you like. Don't listen. There are some things you used to like. There were some things you got married because there are some things you used to like about your spouse. Don't forget why you got married. Okay. Don't forget. Can I tell you? Go and write 10 things that you like. Don't have 90 things that you don't like and struggle with things that you like. You started with positive things that you like in each other. You need to nurture fondness and admiration. When you're sitting in the house, sit next to each other, snuggle a little bit. Come on, talk to me, somebody. you are already putting in down payment for when things go wrong. If you are fond of each other, you are full of admiration for each other, when something goes wrong, it will be easier to deal with it. Forgiveness is always hard, but it's going to be easier because I am not going to suspect that you meant it for evil. All right, there's number three. How do we create this atmosphere? 10 things you like about your spouse. I like that. Please write that down. Remind yourself. Put it in your wallet. Okay? You need to shed a tear when your spouse comes into the room, not when Denzel comes on the screen of President Obama. No. You need to nurture that. Nurture it. Number three, let me finish up. Number three, in order for you to create an atmosphere where forgiveness becomes easier to belong to the relationship, learn to solve your solvable problems. Learn to solve your solvable problems. Married people, you are not going to solve all your problems. You are not. Don't even try it. It's not going to happen. Just pray for the ability to solve your solvable problems. Okay? Pastor, how do we do that? Learn to compromise. Come on, write that thing down. You need to learn to compromise. If you're going to create an atmosphere where forgiveness in your marriage is a partner, is not an enemy, you must learn to solve your solvable problems. Okay? If your spouse doesn't know how to cook, that may be if it is a solvable problem, fine. If it is an unsolvable problem, it doesn't mean nothing. Okay? You're going to have more unsolvable problems than solvable problems. Okay? Don't get a gym membership for your spouse instead of you simply telling them, hey, sweetheart, I think you have put on a little bit. You know, I like it the way it is, but, you know, you got some little bit. You know, can we walk? You know, something like that. Don't come in with something that will make somebody resist the good you're trying to do. Learn to solve your solvable problems. Okay? Which means there are some problems that are unsolvable. Sometimes it's because of timing. Okay? Sometimes it's because of a season you are in. Marriage goes through seasons. Marriage goes through seasons. Okay? See, and each season reveals another aspect of the person you are dating. So it's very, you are married to. So solve your solvable problems. Compromise. Compromise is not weakness. Okay? But here's what it is. You need to learn the art of compromise. When you read through scripture, you discover even God compromised with these people. You remember when God came down to, where is it at? He came down to Abraham and he said, I want to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Jesus came down and said, I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Their sin has come up to me and we need to take it up. And Abraham said, Lord, will you destroy the unrighteous with the righteous? What if there are 50 people in the city? And God said, I won't destroy it. Abraham said, Lord, what if there are 40 people in the city? And God said, I won't destroy it. Then he said, please forgive me. What if there are 30 people in the city? And God said, I won't destroy it. And then he said, well, God, please. What if there are 20 people in the city? And God said, I won't do it. And then he said, well, Lord, please. What if there are 10 people in the city? And God says, I won't destroy it. In fact, if you ask and you follow the trend of it, because Abraham stopped asking, listen, talk to me, man. That's what prayer is. Okay? Isaiah chapter 38 will bring you King Hezekiah. The Bible says Isaiah went to him and told him that the Lord had told me you are going to die. And the Bible says he turned his face to the wall and he cried out to the Lord. He started negotiating. He said, God, you know I've done bad, but Lord, please remember the good that I've done. And God extended 15 years to his life. You got to learn how to compromise. If you compromise, I'm telling you, your marriage is at the mercy of your compromise skill. Marriage is not for perfect people. No. Solve your solvable problems. Okay? Don't try to fix the person you're married to. They didn't love you to be fixed by you. Hear from me. I made my mistakes, okay? I made my mistake. Nobody wants to be fixed by the person they're married to. No. It doesn't matter. Sometimes there are some pastors whose wives don't even go to church like some church members. Why? Because you know what? You want me so much to do it that I resist it. So you must learn to solve your solvable problems. If you're going to create an atmosphere of forgiveness in your marriage, learn to solve your solvable problems. Compromise. Okay, learn the art of losing. And don't be a sour leader, loser, okay? Don't lose and then get mad. No. You can lose with a smile, man. Can laugh about it because it's our team. It's our team, okay? It's our team. I belong on the team. The thing that makes unforgiveness very much powerful in a marriage, it's when the two people in the marriage cease to complement each other and they start competing with one another. As long as you compliment each other, it's going to make forgiveness easier. The moment you become competitors, competing against each other, then unforgiveness becomes a frequent resident in your home. So when you start competing with each other, unforgiveness comes in. When you start complimenting each other, forgiveness comes in. Does that get good? Come on, put on some hearts and some likes there. Solve your solvable problem. Same thing with you who are dating. Don't try to fix the man. Everything. Let me tell you, don't try to fix the man. Don't try to fix... Okay. Simply because your daddy puts on suits and he doesn't put on suits. Don't try to buy him suits every time on his birthday, hoping and now you can work with it. You can work with it. All right, here's number four. Okay, number four, then I'm out of here. I woke up today feeling like, man, you know, I tell you, when I look all over my house, I've got notes on forgiveness everywhere now. I'm just I'm having dreams of forgiveness in my sleep. Here's number four. Then we're out of here. Create shared meaning. If you're going to enhance the spirit of forgiveness in your marriage, you need to create shared meaning. Okay, you need to create shared meaning. How do we do that? You must learn the art of communication, not just talking. No, you must communicate. Communication is not just words. There's verbal communication, nonverbal communication, and they say nonverbal communication does not lie. So you must learn to use words and to use silence well. Create shared meaning. Because one thing that makes crisis and conflicts in a marriage is not understanding what the other person is saying. So the faster you create shared meaning. In other words, what do actions mean? You know, you have a shared meaning to actions, shared meaning to words, shared meaning to expressions. It's a joy, man. It's a joy. And it's work, and it's good work. So when you create shared meaning so that you don't say, well, this is what we did at my father's, because you need to understand, marriage is two people who are coming from two different families who are going to create a different family. And every person who comes, who is married, brings in the good and the bad of the family they grew up in. And there's no perfect family. So everybody has a baggage. Everybody has a baggage. A marriage without conflict is not a real marriage. You don't have to be bad for you to have conflict. We are just different. That's why we have conflict. My mother did this to my daddy. My daddy did this to my mom. And that's what I saw. And that's what you saw now. That makes our marriage unique to each on the other two that we came from. Does that make sense, everybody? Okay. So in other words, family you come from matters. So if you are married, and this is very, very important. You know, when you look at this generation and the older generation, they seemed to have fewer divorces back there than it is now because they didn't marry for themselves. They married the whole family. So if you are to create shared meaning, it means you, my friend, must befriend the family of your spouse. Because they will help you understand why your spouse does what he, she does when they do what they do. So that you get to understand some of the things you don't like or you disapprove, it's normal. That's what he grew or she grew up in. Now, okay, fine. That's what it was at your place. How do we create our own shared meaning? You need to communicate. You need to communicate, okay? You need to communicate. All right. So those four things will help us out, my friends. Nurture fondness and admiration. I've given all of you married people out there and all of you single people, go read Songs of Solomon. Go and read Songs of Solomon. It is one book that is so powerful. There's no greater love novel in the world than the book of, and it's in the Bible, okay? It's in the Bible. It talks about everything. It talks about everything. I mean, this man knew how to compliment his wife's hair. He says, man, your hair is like the goats coming down the heels of Gibeon. I mean, he didn't mean the actual goats. He meant the value of the goats coming down. You feel it? So you got to have that. If she does her hair, learn to compliment it. Man, your hair looks good, whether it's weave, whether it's a bone hair or it's a butt hair. Compliment that thing. And ladies, compliment the man. Okay. Compliments matter. Nurture fondness and admiration. Admire each other. Pray for it. Pray for it. Pray that the Lord will give you eyes that will look beyond the hurt, look beyond the mistakes, look beyond the disappointment, so that you can celebrate the potential that you fell in love with. All of us, here's the last one. When you get married, you marry potential. Okay? There's nothing that is, nothing is guaranteed. No matter how beautiful the girl is, no matter how handsome the guy is, when you get married, you marry potential. And three things happens when you get married. Either the person you married are going to live up to their potential, or they're going to fall short of their potential, or they're going to outlive their potential. Those are the three things. Those are the three categories of marriages. People who lived up to their potential, people who are living beneath their potential, people who are living above their potential. That's it. Those are the three phases of marriage. All the marriages in the world, they can all fit in one of these three categories. Number one, they are living up to their potential. They are living below their potential. They are living above their potential. All right? So nurture fondness, admiration. Turn toward each other instead of away from each other. Confession will help you to stay locked in. Okay? Solve the solvable problems. Develop the art of compromise. It works. It matters. You are not married to an angel. If the person was an angel, you would not even, you are not an angel yourself. So you would not even be good for them. Okay, are you with me on this one? All right. And so solve your solvable problem. You will not solve all the problems. Okay, you may be married for the next 60 years. Why do you want to fix everything today? Solve the solvable and leave some. Jesus puts it this way. Each day has got what? Trouble of its own. Every day has got its own share of trouble. Don't bring the whole year's trouble in one day. It'll overwhelm you. But if you leave the whole year one day at a time, the way we eat our food, you know, one bite at a time, if you do that, you're going to discover some of the problems that look like an elephant. Even an elephant, you eat it one bite at a time. Somebody once said, so solve your solvable problems. Compromise is very important. Thank you, Nathan. Thank you, Pastor, for the wise advice. We really needed it. It's important. Work on it, man. It's good. And then the last one, create shared meaning. On communication. On the shared meaning, guys, I'm going to come in. You need to be around when I talk about single again and forgiveness. When I talk about people who went through divorce people who are widows and people who broke up with people that they were engaged to. Shared meaning. You are going to appreciate this text when scripture says, do not be unequally yoked, okay? It's very, very important what that means. It's going to come to the shared meaning. So that's why when I counsel people, if you are a Catholic, I would encourage you to marry a Catholic. If you're an Adventist, I'll encourage you to marry an Adventist. If you're a Jehovah's Witness, I'll encourage you to marry a Jehovah's Witness. If you're a Pentecostal, I'll encourage you to marry a Pentecostal. You know why? Because of shared meaning. Okay, you have shared meaning. In other words, you don't have to explain everything all the time. You have shared meaning when it comes to God. All right? So you're going to understand it really matters when words don't mean the same thing and you are married, there will be conflict every day. And both of you will be right. Did you hear what I'm saying? You are both right because you haven't shared the meaning. You know, okay, this is what it means to you. This is what it means to me. What does it mean to us? then you create that shared meaning. Okay. So may the Lord bless you real good. All right. There's a lot of marriage books, please, to the married couples. Here's my advice to you for free. You need to buy a marriage book once every month. You need to develop a marriage library in your house. Okay. If you want your marriage to work, there are so many marriage books out there. Buy a marriage book once every month. I didn't say read it. I said buy it so that when you need it, all you got to do is grab and get it and read it. You need to invest in your marriage. It matters. Don't just go out to eat. That's good to go out and eat. But it's important for you to invest in your marriage library. Buy books on finances. Buy books on parenting. Books on conflict resolution. Because marriage is a living organism. It changes every day. And it comes with the different seasons. And each season has got its ups and downs. And you need to read all you can. But after you have done all you can, learn to pray together. Learn to pray together. Okay. If I had time, I would have said to you, learn to influence each other. Okay. We'll talk about it on another day. So may the Lord bless you real good. May the Lord keep you going. We are so proud of you that you are in this thing called marriage. It's not easy. And don't make it look easy. Don't fake it. Don't fake it. And that also, at the same time, don't bring everybody into your stuff. You are growing. Marriage is sweet. The sweetness of marriage is the conflicts and the confusion that comes in it because there are two sinners in love. Okay, keep at it and let God continue to be your coach. We are rooting for you. There is a young person who is looking up to you. If you are married, somebody's looking up to you. And if you're married, look for someone you look up to. If you are married, you need a mentor. You need a mentee. Okay, you need a mentor. Don't be married where you don't have another couple that you look up to. Look for another older couple that you look up to because everybody's learning. And then look for a younger couple or people who are dating that you can adopt so that they keep you on fire. Okay, when you see them love on each other, they remind you of how you used to love each other. And when you're reminded, you know what, you can do some stuff. You know, you can roast the maize together. You can go and you don't have to. Listen, man, it's wonderful to love a sinner. It's a wonderful thing to be loved by another sinner. And it's a good thing to have a holy God in the midst of it. It's a good thing. Listen, it comes with its own baggage, but it can work. It can work. Okay, so we're going to talk tomorrow. I'm going to talk about forgiveness and parenting. And then on Thursday, I'm going to talk about forgiveness and singleness again. All right. We're going to talk about divorce. We're going to talk about widows and widowers. And we're going to talk about those who broke up painfully. So invite someone to come in. It's going to be extremely powerful. Forgiveness with that. And I tell you what, there are different tools that we need to get it going. Let's call on God as you guys go. Some of you are going to sleep. Others, I know you're going to think a little bit. Others, you're going to watch this thing again. If you have any questions, please message me, email me, whatever you have to do. Get in touch with me. I'm not too busy for you. I'm available because I want this thing to work. All right. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for this moment. I'm so grateful and thankful that, Lord, you've given us this platform and this time for us to just look at life again. So, Holy Spirit, help us take away the guilt and shame of making mistakes because, God, we hurt each other and we've been hurt by others, especially being hurt by someone you love. It goes deeper. And some people will never recover from it. But Master, because you are able, we pray in a very special way that you may uproot the root of bitterness out of our married couples all over the world so that, Lord, peace and forgiveness may flourish again. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen again. Blessings on you, my friends. Looking forward to tomorrow. Same time, parenting and forgiveness. You don't want to miss that one. If you have a child or you're a parent figure or you're thinking of having children, you're going to love it. We're going to laugh a lot tomorrow. So bring your hanky next to you because we're going to do a lot of laughing. Because that's what it just takes humor for us to go through it. Blessings on you, my friends.